From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Yesterday, Barack Obama said no thanks to the Michigan presidential primaries. Three of his Democratic rivals, John Edwards, Bill Richardson, and Joe Biden, are doing the same. They're all crying foul over Michigan's choice to move its primary up to January 15th. That's about 3 weeks earlier than its original date. Hillary Clinton says she's not budging from the Michigan ballot, so the withdrawals could help her stand out in that important contest. For more, we've got Robert Trainum, a GOP strategist who also teaches at George Washington University, and Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to you both.
Yes, Farai, I'm here.
Hi, Farai.
So, Mary, why have Senator Obama and the other three candidates opted to take their names off the ballot?
Well, somebody in their campaign thought that by doing that, they would make the people in Iowa and New Hampshire feel good about them, which is important since both of them want to win Iowa very much and are staking a lot on it. And perhaps they also didn't figure out that they could simply not take their names off and not campaign that there and technically abide by the rules. No one knows how all this is going to sort out, but any confidence and that the people in Iowa can have that their caucuses will be first, and New Hampshire that they'll be first, will probably lend some more support to whatever candidates give them that feeling of comfort.
Now, Robert, the Democratic National Committee has said that Michigan's date change was an illegal move. Florida is also kind of up in play. What exactly is going on here?
Basically, Farai, this is a inter-party scrimmage, if you will, that I find quite fascinating. The fact of the matter is that you have Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. And that has always been the traditional primary process, as well as obviously having the other dates after the traditional New Hampshire and Iowa caucuses. So basically what you see here is that you see a lot of the folks saying, look, I'm not going to disrespect the DNC process. I'm going to remove my name from the ballot. What's interesting here, Farai, is that Hillary Clinton has said that she's going to keep her name on the ballot, but she's not going to be spending any money in Michigan before the primary. So basically she's trying to have her cake and eat it too, which I find absolutely fascinating. And quite frankly, I'm a little surprised that Mr. Edwards, that Mr. Obama and Mr. Richardson and also Senator Biden are not holding her feet to the fire with this.
Now, Senator Dodd is doing the same thing, by the way. It's not just Senator Clinton. Senator Dodd is keeping his name on the ballot. I know he's not one of the front runners.
That's the difference.
But he's
obviously
running, and he's a candidate, and he's taking the same position. However this sorts out in the end, when the convention comes, whoever is the nominee is going to work it out so that everybody's votes get counted and they can go on their way. But it is a fascinating squabble inside the party.
Okay, I want to move on to the GOP debates. Fred Thompson made his GOP debate debut last night at the University of Michigan in Dearborn, and other candidates have about 6 months more practice arguing the issues with one another. So in your mind, Robert, how did he stack up?
Well, Farai, Senator Thompson did okay last night. He obviously stumbled out of the gate a little bit on the first question on the economy. He seemed a little bit nervous, a little unsteady. But you can actually see his stature and his confidence level growing over the course of the next 2 hours. He was very substantive, a little long-winded, but he looked presidential. Obviously, he's 6'6". He stood right in the middle of Mayor Giuliani and Governor Romney. He did okay. I think in terms of people's first impressions of him outside of being Arthur Branch from Law & Order, you know, he held his own, but there's still a lot of lingering doubts out there about Senator Thompson's ability to be able to compete with Mayor Giuliani and Governor Romney. Also, too, there's a lot of raised eyebrows out there because, quite frankly, Farai, there's some Republicans and also social conservatives that are saying, I'm not sure he wants this. I'm not sure he's really into this. I don't think his heart is into this. And there's some bickering back and forth as to whether or not his wife is really more into this or not. But again, to answer your question specifically, he did okay. I would give him probably a B- or C+.
What about you, Mary?
I'd give him a B. He's from my home state of Tennessee, and we've watched him a long time, and we've never seen him have fire in his belly about anything. But he's been successful in campaigns despite that. He has the ability to make people feel that there's a certain serenity surrounding him, and they can imagine sitting down in the living room having a chat with him and a drink, and that whatever decision he made, it probably would be the right one in the end. And he sort of conveyed that last night. That's just a feel that he had. And I, after watching campaigns all these years and discounting how people feel, I know that how they feel counts for a lot more than the debate and what everybody said and all the rest of it. So I think he did just fine, and I'd give him a B.
All right. Well, I want to move on to a couple other candidates. You've got former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney and former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. They got into a war of words over taxes and spending. First, Giuliani accused Romney of being the big spender.
You've got to control taxes, but I did it. He didn't. I controlled taxes.
Sorry.
I brought taxes down by 17%. Under him, taxes went up 11% per capita. I led. He lagged.
Then Romney fought back.
It's baloney. Mayor, you got to check your facts. No taxes. I did not increase taxes in Massachusetts. I lowered taxes, number one. Number two, the Club for Growth looked at our respective spending record. They said my spending grew 2.2% a year. Yours grew 2.8% a year.
All right. Are they both right? What do you think, Mary?
They've got a similar problem. They are both right with nuances about what each other did. But again, the facts don't matter so much as the fact that they were fighting each other back and forth. There are two things going on here in the fighting between Giuliani and Romney. One is that they're fighting to keep people in the Republican Party base from thinking too much about the things that are negative about them. If they can keep fighting each other, maybe people won't think about, you know, what does Mormonism mean? What about Giuliani's marriage? What about his position on the board? And they've got another fight going on you saw last night, which is which one of us can beat up Hillary Clinton worse? I can do it better than you. And again, this keeps people thinking about the general election and not thinking about things that they might find negative. And so I thought they both were feisty, that they fought it tooth and nail, and it was fun watching them. But there are these two battles. It's the battle to keep people from really thinking about what they're really about.
Now, Robert, what do you think in terms of looking at the race right now? Giuliani still has the lead, and Romney is third. What's going on in terms of the overall layout of the race, and did anything change because of a debate like this?
Oh, well, a little bit changed. Obviously, Fred Thompson's in the race now, and so people obviously are watching him and looking at him a little bit differently. Mitt Romney wants to be number one or number two. What's fascinating about all this, Farai, and I thought Mary was going to allude to this to a certain degree, is that you have two moderate Republicans that are trying to become the conservative standard bearer, if you will. And it's tough for them because obviously Mitt Romney was the governor of Massachusetts, which is an overwhelmingly Democratic state. And obviously Mayor Giuliani was the Republican mayor of an overwhelmingly Democratic city. So it's a nuanced position here that they have to really clarify on. And that is, I am going to be the standard bearer on taxes. I'm going to keep your taxes low. I'm not going to raise taxes. And then they have to very quickly shift to, and I am also, again, very much on your side on abortion. Mitt Romney has an issue with being a pro-life or pro-choice or whatever he is. And same thing with Rudy Giuliani. They both have the same issue right now where they both have to run to the right without alienating the center.
But there's a guy you didn't mention, Farai, McCain, who I haven't written off yet. He was lurking, if I might say that, while they were all fighting about this and that and the other, and everybody was focused on whether Thompson was how he looked. McCain didn't hurt himself at all. If he can do well in New Hampshire and if he can find some money somewhere, he may make a comeback. But he's still very viable, very alive. And Huckabee, we didn't mention, and everybody's saying, you know, he might be okay, but his name is something that people just, you know, laugh. It won't pass the risibility test. People will laugh when you say President Huckabee. But I thought he was the best of the lot last night.
Well, I actually want to move on to another topic. New Orleans is to corruption as, I'm going to let you fill in that. Right now, questions about corruption in New Orleans. Rebuilding efforts are swirling around Alphonso Jackson. The FBI is investigating the Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Allegedly, he gave his golfing buddy, William Hairston, almost $500,000 in HUD contracts. And this spring, Jackson said in testimony before a Senate committee that he doesn't interfere with who gets HUD contracts. Now, Hairston told the Times-Picayune in a phone interview that Jackson didn't help him get the job, but a former colleague of Jackson's had requested him. Mary, is this the kind of thing, is this corruption or just, you know, keeping that money rolling?
It's keeping the money rolling towards your friends. I mean, in politics, if you can't help your friends, who can you help? And you know your friends better than anybody else. And so it's just some more of that. And Alphonso Jackson is one of those interesting guys in the administration. He has a background and experience in housing, which is unusual. He has some expertise for Bush administration appointees, in my view. But he should do okay at HUD. And he's had all these problems in New Orleans with trying to take care of the people who have been devastated down there and not getting it quite right. And his buddies, even if he gives them money, they don't seem to get it quite right. And this business about, I don't have anything to do with contracts that are handed out because I don't sign the papers. If any cabinet officer lets it be known to people up and down the line that I want X to get a contract and Y not to get one, whatever the reason, it does have some influence. So he just stepped into it again. But I think we'll have to see what the facts are when the investigation is completed. I'm not in the business of jumping to conclusions, but right now it looks pretty murky.
Robert, just quickly, there was some backstory. According to the Dallas Business Journal, the HUD secretary was quoted saying, and this is in reference to someone who approached him for a job and then got denied, "I thought to myself, brother, you have a disconnect. Why should I reward someone who doesn't like the president?" And goes on from there. Is he again risking his reputation? Of course, he later recanted the story.
Lied in his speech. And he came out and said that he lied. Look, the fact of the matter is...
He's a liar?
He said that he lied in his speech. I mean, that's very well documented. The fact of the matter is, Farai, is that if you take a look at the president's inner circle, they're filled with loyalists, people that really, really admire and respect the president and will die tooth and nail for him. Alfonso Jackson is one of those people. And what he has consistently done, and there's nothing illegal about this, what he's consistently done is said, who are my friends and who are my enemies and who are the friends of the president? And having said that, he has consistently said, look, if you're a Republican, I'm going to help you. If you're a Democrat, I'm going to have a raised eyebrow. Is that the right thing to do from an ethical standpoint? Of course not. But there's nothing illegal about that. But this is the second time, unfortunately, that the FBI and some other investigative groups have come in and said, Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, what you're doing certainly has raised our eyebrows, and we're definitely going to look into this.
Well,
all right,
as a matter of fact,
we're going to have to wrap, Mary.
But it is illegal, Farai. It is illegal. Contracts are supposed to be awarded based
on
qualifications.
All right.
It's a wrap. Robert, thanks. Mary, thanks so much. We've been talking to Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Also, Robert Trainum, GOP strategist, teaches at George Washington University, and they both spoke with us from NPR's Washington headquarters.